just do a little resume of last week. I said that the message last week would be run into 2 weeks, and the first part of it was about decisions. Decisions determine your destiny, my destiny, your destiny. And not only will your decisions determine your destiny, they will determine the destiny of other people too. And really, what I was talking about last week was part of a bit of a personal testimony of mine, and really just to I said things like, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, you know. How hungry are we for the things of God? How hungry are you this morning for more of God? How hungry are you? And I looked very briefly into Habakkuk. In fact, I spoken about it the week before, you know, about writing the vision down. You know, and our vision as a church is very simple. It's to reach, teach and release, and that's really it in a nutshell. And we talked about the joy. And if you read that last chapter of Habakkuk, you'll see that there, that this is though a fig tree may not blossom, and there'll be no grape upon the vine. You know, and even in difficulties and difficult circumstances, we can look past where we're at and see where we're going to. You know, God did that when he saw the treasure in this world he created. So much treasure that he would send his son, Jesus. And as I said, I read once somewhere that it almost like as if God bankrupted heaven to send the son to give his life for you and to give his life for me, that we might carry that message, the seed of the love of Jesus to a world that's hurting and a world that needs him. I mentioned a bit about Jeremiah 20 verse 9, where it says there, and even in Jeremiah's difficulties, and though everybody seemed to hate him and have a go at him because he was a prophet, because you bring in the word of God, how I said that Jeremiah said there, yet it burns in my heart, you put your word in my bones, I can't let it go, I've got to tell, I'm compelled to tell, I can't hold it back. And that's my prayer for John as he brings his testimony. You know, yes, he'll tell everybody about what happened in his early life, but he'll also tell you about that night that he gave his life to Jesus at all, and something changed, something happened. You know, we have a testimony to give. God has called us here as a church. You know, we will plough, plant, tend and harvest in this place. That's the call and the vision of this church. Whatever is going on, whatever rumblings happen, whatever happens in our lives, in our personal lives, in the life of us corporately as a church, that is his call upon us. And I really believe in my heart, as your pastor, God is calling me and you into a deeper relationship with himself. But that's our decision. We have to decide. We can say yes or no. I'm glad that God saw so much treasure in my life. And that other picture as well that William used at the beginning, with the Lord sat there looking upon the world. You know, he looks upon us and he sees treasure. He looks upon you this morning and he sees hidden treasure. And that brings me to where I want to be today, because I want to be talking about seed today. You know, God's been talking to me about seed all year, about the sower, and I've been spending time in Mark and the other Gospels where it's mentioned about the sower, and really that's where I want to sort of carry on from today. I want to talk about seed this morning, and there's this word here that concentrated on last week a bit for, I've got to say it again, as it really thrills me. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field. And put it on a personal level this morning, it's like me or you going out and finding this thing. And the excitement of discovering it. You know, I can just sense it. The excitement of discovering this treasure. You know, and he said there that he found it and hid it again because he didn't want anybody else to know about it. Because he wanted to go and he wanted to get together all it would take to buy the field. You know, and sometimes we see treasure in our own lives, like we see something that God has done in us. So much in our life, we see this treasure that we want to, you know, almost like, you know, I can't sort of describe it. Like you see a kid, you watch You've Been Framed, and you see some of these kids getting their Christmas presents, you know, and they're absolutely gobsmacked, you know, and they can't stop clapping, or just excitement of getting this thing they've always wanted, you know, And I can remember getting a Winchester repeating rifle when I was a kid, like, you know, don't be bullets, of course, like, you know, caps. But oh, it's what I wanted, you know. Oh, when I got it, you know, it was a bit different to my mum's stocking with a walnut and an orange and the stuff that I normally used to get. So this is, you know, I must have had money that year. But it's the joy, you know, we've all had hurts and difficulties and all sorts of things in our lives and situations. But God wants to lead us into a joy. He wants us to discover the treasure in our own lives. And there's treasure in your life, treasure in my life that perhaps you've not even found yet. And God wants to bring us to that place. But we're so joyful about the treasure that He has shown us through His Holy Spirit, that we actually do something with the treasure. You know, maybe you buy your own field. You know. God, I really believe God is calling us to bigger things, you know. So sometimes we can keep that treasure deep in our heart, deep joy. Sometimes there's a time for deep joy, sometimes there's a time for exuberant shouting, dancing, jumping joy of the Holy Spirit as God speaks into our lives. Why did I pick Psalm 119 and those verses? I couldn't have the whole psalm really, but I just wish it would have gone on for hours. It talks about the word. You know, how I love your word, Lord. How I love your laws. How I love your precepts. How I love this and that. And as I said, I want to be talking about the joy this morning and about the seed. And in Hebrews 12:2, which is my pre-seed version of it this morning, it basically says, for the joy set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross. You know, these miners trapped in this mine in Peru, you know, it's maybe not joyful at the moment, but they have a hope that it may be a few months' time, but they're going to get out of that place. You know, and how could we even imagine the joy in their hearts as they get up that tube to actually see the light, daylight, for the first time after being underground for possibly 5 months? Can we imagine that? But when we think about it, when Jesus came, touched our lives, set us free, and we made a commitment to Him, it should be like that. It should be an explosion of joy. We have found the pearl of greatest price. You know, it is priceless. You know, and so there should be a joy about this. But we can get, as Christians, we get in that same mundane sort of attitude, and day to day we do the same old thing and so on. You know, there should be a joy. You know, I remember singing a song, it's an old song, we used to sing it to us. There's joy in serving Jesus. Every moment of every day is joy, joy. You know, I remember a lot of the old songs of the 70s when I was a young Christian were all about joy, 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 joy in my heart. If Trevor was here at the moment, he's singing with me because he knows songs I don't even know, that were before even my time. You know, but that same thing, and in the Pentecostal church in the 60s and 70s, it was like so much joy, joy, my heart is full of joy. There is joy in serving Jesus. And you look at the redemption hymnal and look at the songs, it's all about joy and joy and joy. Some of them are really quite sort of, we'd never sing them these days, they're really quite like, oof, you know. It's not that it's joyful, but it's just, they're just so sort of old, you know, but, you know, there's something refreshingly new about what God wants us to experience. He wants us to experience the joy of our salvation. You know, and there's nothing more joyful than sowing seed. There's nothing more joyful than planting seed. You know, and this really, what God's laid on my heart to share today is about the seed that He puts within our hearts. You know, and sometimes there is good seed, and sometimes there is bad seed. Sometimes there's seed that is dormant. Sometimes there's seed that is dead and defunct, no good anymore. I briefly spoke about it last week. In fact, last week was quite amazing because two different people came up to me last week, and I remember I sensed a word that God was saying that there was somebody, and they were almost like sort of naked in this wide space before broken, and somebody came up to me and said that I'm that person whom, you know, I'm standing there alone in all my difficulties and all my problems at the moment, please pray for me. Somebody else came up to me last week, because I mentioned this week I'll be speaking about, you know, that I felt there's people still trying to sow dead seed. And this person came up to me and said, you know, I need to hear the message next week because I've been trying to sow dead seed for a long time. And that was in a relationship. You know, trying to be friends with friends, girlfriends from years back, and trying to keep relationships going that obviously God didn't want to keep going, because and whatever seed that this person sowed into that situation, it never got anywhere, it never developed, because it wasn't, the ground situation wasn't right, the temperature was wrong, the light was wrong, the humidity was wrong. You see, seeds need something to germinate. And as I've been sort of looking at bringing this word today, I've just been looking at the basics of germination, how seeds work. And it was quite interesting, because you can spiritualize these to your heart's content. It's such a, but it's life. It's how God created us. It's how life is, and how growth takes place. And it's so similar. You can look at it as the church, as our own lives. And we can see the similarities between that little seed that you pop into the ground and water it and let the heat get to it and the light and the moisture get to it, and then something happens, you know. And the one thing I'll say now before I go any further, you see this little black, you can imagine like, can you imagine a dried broad bean? You know, I remember the kid at school cultivated a broad bean. Perhaps we all have at one stage. You know, what do you do with it first? Like, you know, you stick it in somewhere that's really moist and wet and whatever, something with some bit of compost around it to aid it, somewhere some light and that can get to it, and the conditions are right, and then after a while you'll see this shoot that will come out of it, and it's amazing that this hard casing, the first thing that ever comes out of a seed is the main root. I didn't know that. I thought it was the shoot, but it's not apparently. The first thing that comes out of a seed is the root. You know. And I really do believe that that is the crucial part of my message this morning. You know, when we come to Jesus, he wants us to put down roots into this, into his word. Because this here is a seed box. You know, it may be a book full of words, but it's a seed box. I can hear some of you say, here he goes again. It's a seed box. And here, you will find every conceivable seed that you will want in your lifetime to touch the lives of other people. It's all here in this seed box. But we don't have understanding, we struggle with it, or whatever. You know, I think Martin briefly sort of broached it this morning in his communion, I think it was him. He said, like, you know, that until the Comforter came. And Jesus said, I go, but the Comforter will come, and he will lead you into all truth, into the Word, into the truth. You know, and we can't learn this, we can't understand this by ourselves, we only understand it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is a seed box, this contains everything. And if you will let this germinate in your life, it will change your life forever. You will never ever be the same person, I guarantee you. You'll never be the same person again. This is God's seed box. And when we put that root out of the hard shell, when we get saved, we need to put our root down in between these pages. You know, because here, the conditions are right. You know, the light's right, the temperature's right, the compost's right, the moisture is right. It's here, in his word. This is where we'll find it. This is where we'll be able to develop that strong root that will support us through the rest of our lives. We need strong roots, because the enemy would blow us like the wind. He'll blow us this way and that way, continually trying to push us. But when we put this first root, that first thing that pops out the hard casing, that root, we need to develop that root, put it down into his word, so that we can stand and we can grow. Yes, we're going to get knocked, but it'll keep us standing. Keep us standing. Keep us standing. There's a continuous implanting of new seeds into our hearts as we study the word, as we read the word. And I put in here, no word, little seed to plant. We haven't got the word of God in us, what seed have we got to plant with other people? You know, we can sometimes give them our testimony. And that's great. And John will be sharing his testimony. But if we have nothing of the word that has made a difference in our lives, how can we tell people that the word can change them, that God can change them, that Jesus can change them, that he can set them free? We need to have understanding of the word. And we're not going to get it as a flash of lightning, as a clap of thunder, and it will appear to us. It comes with time spent with Jesus, time spent with him in the word. But I just want to share with you a little testimony this morning before I go any further with this thing. And I want to talk about dead seed, because Wendy and I had tried to sow some dead seed a few years ago before we came to Spain, and everything seemed right about it. And by sharing this with you, I hope that you'll just catch what I'm trying to say today. You see, we all can have ideas and things that we believe, you know, are the right thing for us. We all can have stuff in our lives and whatever. And I'll be honest, for many years, the Bible was not really that important to me. I knew little bits about it. And my early Christian life, Christian walk, I rarely picked up the word. It was only in possibly the last 20 years that I really started to look into the word. But my first 20 odd years of knowing the Lord, you know, it was an occasional lifter, a Bible study. Better prepare something, better look at something, better just get something here so I don't go empty handed to the Bible study, better do this or better do that. But it was all about me. It was all about, like, what I could do. You know, and we've all got gifts, and we've all got natural giftings that God has blessed us with. And it wasn't my natural gifting to read the word. You know, music was everything to us, really. And yes, you know, in, as I said, in the when God really made us get serious with him, then the word was more and more important and more important, and we couldn't do without it anymore. But there was a time when really the word was hard, because there was no understanding, you see, because I hadn't put down that real root. Yes, we got saved. Yes, we were going to church. Yes, we were doing all the right things. But we were doing them because we could do them. You know? And many of us, we do things in our lives and situations, each gift in the ministry we may have, and we do it because we can do it. But you know, it calls for a step of faith to do something that you can't do. You know, when you step out and do something you can't do, you've got to have this word. You can't do it without it. You've got to have that that word from God in your life, that you've got to have something to share. You know, you can't go out and witness to somebody on the street and not know anything about the word. Yes, you can share your testimony, but boy, will people ask you difficult questions. Will they come back at you with stuff? And a lot of people get frightened of that and they back off. You know, and that's natural. We want to do that. But I really believe that God has the answers in his word. And if you're really seeking after his heart, then he will show you the words to share, the words to give to other people. It's amazing. You know, you bump into somebody one day, you know, and you have this compelling sense you want to say something to them. You know, so many of us hold back at that stage. And you say, is this of God or is this of me? And all the time it's because, you know, we're not quite there in that place where we have a total sort of, almost like we know it's a God thing straight away. And even now, I back off from things. I want to say things at times, and I back off because I'm not there yet. None of us are there yet. You know, but I'm a bit nearer now than I was. I'm a lot nearer now than I was 20 years ago. And God is really sort of teaching us as a church to move on. But this testimony, I'll try and be brief, because I've gone for hours about this. Because we had this thing, I really felt that God was going to be leading us into ministering to different churches, under the Victory banner, but to different churches in Victory, to different other churches who wanted us to go, to really share on worship, and to do worship, to teach on worship, to teach the leaders how to cope with difficult worship leaders like me and others, and teach worship leaders how to deal with leadership and how to come under their authority and how to work together so that the whole church was blessed and moved forward. And we really felt so strongly this was going to be our ministry. There's nothing there about Spain or coming to Spain, but this was going to be our ministry. And so we got some money together and we had it professionally done, and we produced this brochure, all done professionally with endorsements on the back from Pastor Tony and Pastor Will and Barbie Graham, who'd be coming out in December here, my old pastor, and a lady who was in one of the seminars I did. And all of this is true. All of this is right. There's nothing wrong with anything of this. But it was a dead seed. It was what we felt that we were going to undo. And I don't really think, in hindsight, now, that we really asked God enough about it. We wanted to do it because we felt that's where our ministry was, that's where our strength was, that's what we could do. We could play and sing and do things. And so we had this done. And we bought, I don't know, a couple of thousand of these. There was a lot anyway. There was more than that. There was at least 1,000 of them. I remember the size of the box when it came in. We had these done. And it never took off. No, we did a few. But you see, God had other ideas. God knew that we were going to be coming to Spain. God knew there was other plans for us. So you can make as many glossy brochures as you want, Andrew, but if you're not doing what I've called you to do, forget it. I'm not going to bless it. It's dead seed. But what I also want to say this morning is, it doesn't stop us having to go. But sometimes we have to step out and God will shut the door. But we have to be big enough to say, okay God, you know better than me. Shut the door, okay, that's alright with me. You know, typical of me, I'd look at the financial side of it and thought, wow, we've done all this stuff. And this packet wasn't going any less. I shoved some in the victory notice board in Rugeley and put some in the brochure places and hoping people would pick them up like that, you know. I want to read this, and this is not blowing our trumpet. These are all true things. And I look upon these and I see what God has done with us over the years. But the seed that we were trying to plant was dead seed. We were trying to put seed in the ground that God didn't want us to do. And as I've read through this thing, the fact is of where we were, what we were doing. The fact is that we've been to places. The fact that we've done prison work and writing new songs, making CDs, building up local worship teams, open air outreaches, the seminars I did on UCB radio, all that sort of stuff. But it's nothing. It's of no benefit. It may be for that time, whatever. But you see, we thought our whole future was going to be that. And it wasn't. The vision was okay. To serve the body of Christ. By answering the call of God to train and encourage both worship and leadership teams, congregations, individuals, how to break through worship, whether in a gathering or alone in the secret place with God. We long to see God's people minister to the Father with a heart like David's. Duncan mentioned that this morning. Reaching out and touching the Father's throne each, every time we call upon his name. That was our vision statement. There was nothing wrong with that. But it was dead seed. We were trying to do something that we could do. And God was preparing us to do something that we couldn't do. You see where I'm coming from this morning? And we can do this. We can, you know, I remember going across the road, or Wendy taking them over, and she dumped the box of these in the wheelie bin at Los Munoz's. It was pointless. I knew there was one somewhere. I had to hunt to find this one. But it's dead seed. We have to let it go. You see, it was ours, and we weren't prepared to sacrifice. We weren't prepared to plant it. We weren't prepared to give it over to God. Because the word says that unless a seed dies, it won't grow. And this is the word God gave me about 2 months ago. Possibly now. God showed me. This world, as it were, like this. He showed me in a dream his creation. And this is where this thing came from, this Matthew 13, verse 44. And as he looked over his creation, it was as if the Father said to me, Andrew, my son had to die to establish my church. And he said, something's going to have to die at Wellspring for the church to move on. And this is what God had put in my heart. Something has to die. The seed has to die. We have to give it over to him. It's not our seed anymore. It's his seed. If he's given it to us through his word, this belongs to him. And nobody would disagree this morning. You would say, yes, that is God's word. It is his seed. You know, well, he implants that in our hearts. And then we go and share it with others. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to implant in you some seed that you'll go from here and you'll let it germinate. And then it will be like the sower went to sow, and some brought 30-fold, and some brought an increase of 60-fold, and some brought an increase of 100-fold. But he had to sow. Had to sow it. And some fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns. Some fell on the heat, parched it. We made the wrong move. That seemed right at the time, but we tried. It wasn't going to be. It wasn't a seed for that time, because God had plans for us elsewhere. And that may be what God is saying in your heart today. You may be trying to do stuff. Even now. And God is saying, surrender it to me. Surrender the seed to me. Surrender the idea, the thought, the tiny little thing. It may be in your heart, right this moment in time. Maybe God's saying something to you about the future. Maybe God's leading you somewhere in your heart. I just really would say, church, learn to surrender the seed to Jesus. Learn to give it to him. Because without him, it will not flourish. You know, we can do stuff by ourselves. We can keep going on and doing it and doing it and doing it because we can do it. But suddenly, when we surrender it to him, there's something different about it. He brings us into a new area of service, a new area of worship. There wasn't any sadness when they went in the bin because we knew God was doing a new thing. And we quite happily let it go. See, God wants us to be in places and positions where we're having continually take a step of faith with him. Where it just doesn't become natural, easy. You know, if it was natural to take a step of faith, not unnatural. I know many of us, it's unnatural to take a step of faith. That's where we are now, but I want you to see past that. I want you to see down the road a bit. To that day when it will be absolutely natural for you to take a step of faith every day. Step of faith every time you come across somebody and speak a word into their life or say something. Or be spontaneous with somebody. It's planting a seed. Planting a seed. When we're familiar, I've written down here, when things are familiar, we can drop our guard and cruise along until we crash into something. And, oh Lord, woe is me. Why have you taken my ministry from me? Why has it all died? Why this? Why that? Why the other? God is saying, I want you to plant your seed. Commit it to me. I want you to give it back to me. I want it to die. Because when it dies of you, it grows with me. And I can do something with it. You know, we want, so many of us have got pouches of seeds, you know, and they're dormant at the moment because they're my seed. It's my ministry, it's my gift, it's my this and it's my that. And God says, I want you to plant it. I want you to sow it into the ground. And maybe some won't work. Maybe some won't work at the moment. Maybe some, it's the wrong time. But there's going to be some that does work. and some that will grow, and some that develop, and somebody will pick it up and say, yes, that's the word for me. If you hadn't said that today, it wouldn't have meant anything in my life. I needed that. You know, I really want to encourage you, church, to when God puts a word in your heart for somebody, don't hold back. Share it. Share it. You know, be brave. Stand out. Plant a seed. Go out and plant it. That's why it's there. But we need to put our roots down in His word. I believe God is calling us to move on as a complete body, not a fragmented body. He's calling us to get closer to Him, to a new relationship, maybe even develop a relationship with Him, a lifestyle spent, you know, just because, you know, it's no good you saying to me, oh Andrew, well you're the pastor or whatever, you need to be studying the Bible, you need to be praying, we all need to, you know, no amount of praying or studying the Bible is going to make Jesus love you anymore. I think I said that last week. But when we have that root put down in Him, we want to study. We want to pray. We want to praise Him. We want to give Him glory. We want to adore Him. We want to tell Him how much He is, a love, and how much we love Him. You know, it comes out of that relationship with Him. And that's a relationship with Him because we can only see Him through His Word. This is where we see Him. This is where He reveals Himself to us. Praise God. You know, we can wear a badge as a Christian. It says, Christian. Another old song, remember, they are watching you, marking all you do, hearing the things you say. You know, people are watching us. They're watching you and me, watching how we live, what we do, watching us. There's just no good wearing a badge saying, you know, I'd rather wear a Bible stuck to my chest, but that wouldn't make any difference either. We can wear this, but are we going to read it? Is it going to make any difference in our lives? Is it going to touch us? Is it going to change us? Would we allow Him to change us? The Father is jealous of our praise and our time spent. I was watching some on TV. It was I think it was the 700 Club or something. I like watching some of the American news. So when I go on Tuesday, Matthew will say, oh, so and so's happening. I'll say, I know. There's a pig in the bath, I know. But, you know, because, you know, when you go somewhere like that. And I was just watching this. I don't normally watch 700 Club, but I just watch the news part of it. And they had a little clip on there about, and I think, isn't it where Stuart and Sue's daughter is? Is she Niger?
No.
Niger, in Africa. And there's a famine again in the land, in Niger. And they're showing these people there. They interviewed a lady there. And this is what she said. She said, I haven't seen a seed for 3 weeks. These people are living on seeds and berries. She hasn't seen a seed for 3 weeks. That can be like us as Christians. We haven't had a look in 3 weeks. We haven't seen a seed. You know, when there's no seed, there's a famine in the land. You know, and we don't want to be a famished church. We want a church that is full of God, full of God's word. And it really spoke to my heart as I listened to this interview there. You know, what happens when there is no seed? Famine comes. That's what the presenter said. And this lady said, I haven't seen a seed for 3 weeks to feed my kids. We are so privileged. He supplies, and in 2 Corinthians 9:10 he says, he gives or he supplies seed to the sower. If we're not going to be a sower, why should he supply seed to us? You know, He supplies seed to the sower. And sometimes we have to get our head round it the other way. It's no good being fat on the word of God unless we want to sow it. My cup's full and running over. Another song we used to sing when I was a kid. You know, have a full cup, let it run over. When I'm teaching on worship, I always say, you know, that we speak and we worship out of the overflow of our heart. It's not a performance thing. Come up here, let's sing a great song. You know, worship has changed over the last 20 years. No longer is it just a few songs pulled out of a box. It has somehow has a meaning. It has a relational thing with Jesus. Something to touch. Lord, what songs will I bring? Show me. Pick them out. Make them stand out to me as I look through. We want the right songs for the right days. Do we want to be sowers, I've written down. Do we want to be sowers? Because I guarantee you, if you want to be a sower, He'll give you the seed. But you'll find it in here. You'll find it on your knees in prayer. You'll find it in the secret place with God. Do you know the potential that seeds have? There is so much potential in here this morning. You think, well, I've got a lot of potential. I'm old. You're looking at me there. We can have all sorts of excuses. We can say, well, I've never been an evangelist. I've never been a speaker. I've never done this. I've never gone out and done that. Past it now. Let the young do it. No. Let the young in the Lord do it, maybe. And I know there's some of you here today that are young in the Lord. Haven't known him that long. But just look on it as if this is your teenage years. These are your teenage years with Jesus. He's got stuff for you to do. Don't care where you are this morning, how long you've known him. This is your youth, your spiritual youth. God has got stuff for you to do. The potential Jesus had with those 12 was huge. And even one of those gave him up. Even one of those went behind his back. You see, it doesn't always work, as I said, Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's not the right time. But it doesn't say, never have a go. See, so often, I've got up in notes a bit, it doesn't matter, I'm going to wrap up in a minute. Some of us were so hurt, feel let down, tried it, didn't work. You don't know the trouble I've, might be the old Negro spiritual, you don't know the trouble I've, and all this sort of stuff. And it makes that hard shell on the seed. Now, you are a seed. And God saw it. He saw a treasure seed. You see, when he saw the seed, he saw the potential. He saw the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold growth in your life and in my life. That's why he sent his son. That's why you meant so much to him. But so often, we can wrap our hard shells around us for protection. Protection against being hurt again, being let down again. Want to look at somebody who's been hurt? Want to look at somebody who's been let down? Want to look at somebody who's been trodden on? Yeah, he's here, standing at the front talking to you this morning. Got it all, got the t-shirt. But the love of Christ compels me to continue, to keep on going, not to give up, to push the root deeper. And that's what it's all about, church. It's pushing the root deeper. Want to see this church filled with people? Start pushing the root down. Because when trouble comes, you will not get knocked over. Yes, you'll bruise. You'll be upset. You'll shrink like when the sun goes in at night and all the plant sweat flows up. But when the sun, the King of Glory, comes out, it all opens up again. A new day, a new chance, a new opportunity, a new seed to plant. For the joy set before him, there is potential. What are dead seeds? Stuff that was never ever really surrendered to the Lord. They're dead seeds. Thinking, things we take ownership of and never let go. Seeds we have in our pouches that are ours. Doing things our way. Unsurrendered ideas and plans to him. These are dead seeds. Trying to make something work that God obviously saying, it's not going to work, Andrew. There's some plenty more seeds in your pouch. Go and plant someone else. And don't keep working on this thing. It's not of me. It's not for this time. It's dormant until the time's right, when the condition's right, and I can perhaps do it in 5 years' time, and it'll work. Maybe when we put out the grass, maybe that's what we'll do. Resurrect the brochure, but not at the moment. There is... I'm not going to really go this one, I haven't got time to, but... joy is a powerful source of spiritual success. When we're a joyful church, it's a powerful source of spiritual. When you're joyful in your heart, when we come here full of joy, worshiping and praising God, there's something about it that lifts us. That tells us we can do more than this. Tells us we can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. I think Pete and Blynn sent me a forward message thing that's been going around the circuit. I don't know where it came from or whatever. And I had a look at it. I didn't really sort of look a lot at the bottom of it, but the first sentence of it really stuck in my heart. And you know what it said? It says, to get something you never have, you have to do something you never did. I'll say it again. To do something, to get something you never had, you have to do something you never did. You know, that's faith. Step of faith. Reaching out. If we keep on doing the same things, we'll keep on getting the same things. If all we ever had is failure, and we don't change, we'll continue getting failure. We'll keep on doing the same things. If we want to get something we never have had as a church, we're going to have to do something we never did. And that may mean, I'm not saying this is the only thing, but it may mean we need to spend more time with Him. We need to get on our face before God and say, Lord, just show me. Take away from me all the stuff that belongs to me. Make it yours. I surrender it to you. I want it to die so it can live. It's amazing. It's like we turn the computer off. You have to press start to close it down. And sometimes it's like in reverse. Like, you know, things are opposite in this world. Certainly in heaven. It's opposite. It's totally alien to our way of thinking. But to get something you never had, you've got to do something you never did. You've got to learn to step out in faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 38 talks about a seed has to die. It's a live seed, but it has to die. And I've written in here, learn to sow and let go. It's His. Same with men of vision. You know, it's something that God has put in my heart for years to do. Something specific for men. There's always been stuff for ladies. All in church history seems to be, and certainly the last 40, 50 years, there's always been a ladies thing. There's very, very few things for men. You know, but as soon as God gave me it and established it, He said, now I want you to give it up. I want you to give it over. And it's been hard giving it to somebody else to take it on and to run with it. But that's what God said. You have to be obedient. Because I knew if I stayed at the helm of it, it never would have been successful. And it's been tough as it is, but it never would have been successful if I'd stayed there at the helm of it. Because God said. And God says, you've got to do it. You've got to let go. You've got to let die. Let the self bit go so it can be successful. A seed has to die. Learn to let go. It belongs to Him, not us. He gave it to us in the first place. If we take ownership, it is subject to us, to where we are, what we're doing. But when we give it up to God, it's subject to Him and what He can do with it. And I tell you what God can do with our seed compared to what we can do with our seed is the difference between light and dark. He can do anything with our seed that's surrendered to Him. As I said, and as I wind up, the Bible is a seed box full of live seeds. When we now allow the Holy Spirit to water those seeds. And John, I'm praying for you next Saturday as you just allow the Holy Spirit in your heart. Maybe you don't understand something that you're writing down, just write it. As He gives you those words to say, just write it down and just share those seeds. Because you don't know what you might say. You might touch somebody's life that's there and make a huge difference. And every one of you that are doing things, meeting people, touching people's lives, Amanda with the work that she does with Matt, things like that, we just need to just surrender it and say, God, I just don't know, but because you say so, Lord, I'll do it. And that brings me really to the end. And I just want to just finish on this. Luke 5. I'm not going to look there this morning, but you'll know the story. When Jesus said to Simon, He said, launch out and throw your nets down. And His words there were, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. So this is where it is. You see, this, we don't have Jesus here speaking to us, as it were, in bodily form, but we have Him here, in His word. At your word, this is what I'll do. Peter let God invade his territory that day and change his life forever. Sometimes we don't like it when somebody says to us, do it this way, because we say, well, hang about a minute, I've done it this way for years. It just reacts something within us, rises up against it. How dare you tell me how to sell building materials? I've done it for 30 years. You know, but when God speaks, and God will use other people sometimes to speak to us, He'll say, time to stop, time to change, time to move on. Will we be like Peter? Or will we just stand against what God wants to do? And I pray your prayer and my prayer will be when God speaks to us, when God tells us to plant a seed, and in the place he tells us to plant it, and how we're to plant it, that we'll say, Lord, I've been planting seeds for years, but because you say so, I'll do it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that all of us are seed. And Father, we're all here with huge potential this morning. Huge potential. Father, I thank you. You're calling us, Father, to touch this area of Spain with the love of your Son. The fact that Jesus would come and give his life for the treasure that you saw in your creation. Lord, we commit ourselves to you today. Father, we say, Lord, help us. Help us to die to ourselves, to die to self, to die to what we want and how we want it to be. And say, Lord, you do this thing in my life. Father, it's so much hard work trying to make it happen. But Father, I surrender it to you. Lord, if there's dead seed in my life, take it out. Change my heart. Father, help me to reach into that pouch of good seed and start spreading it around. Help me to forgive, to forget, to lay down that is not going to work. But Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just direct me into those areas where I can touch the lives of people with your love. Take me out of me, Lord. Take me out of me. And Father, replace it with you. Father, I want to be a fisherman that catches fish. I don't want to be doing something the old way, because it's always the way we've done it. But Father, I want to move as your Spirit guides in this place. Teach us, Father, to move as your Holy Spirit speaks to us. Help us to be good seed sowers, Lord. Because Father, once we've sown good seed, we're going to reap a harvest in this place. And Father, we look beyond the empty seats of today. And Father, this is something that you have started here, Father, that is for generations to come. And Father, we are the pioneers here at the moment. But this is something that you're establishing, not man. And Father, we give it back to you. If we've taken ownership of anything of this church, we lay it down at your feet today. And we say, Father, we plant this seed. We plant the seed of Wellspring, the Victory Churches, this morning. Because we want to see growth, not just numerically, but spiritually. Father, we pray, help us to lay down ourselves. Father, we want to put roots down in you today that are going to hold us strong in the times to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.